You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
I have Nicole here today. I met Nicole a couple of years ago. Her boyfriend, significant other, and the father of her soon baby girl is in the Warwick County Drug Court. He's a 28-year-old male who's had 8 DUIs. I had never met anybody that had 8 DUIs, so Jason has been a pleasure to work with in the drug court. He met Nicole in treatment, and I've just watched them, you know, like we watch each other and watch people, and they've really supported each other in their journey in sobriety. He's been real helpful to her, even though he didn't get hung up in a drug addiction like she did. Alcohol was his drug of choice. And she's been very, very instrumental, comes to court with him, supports him, and they together in this journey of recovery have really strengthened sobriety for each other. I don't want to talk too much about her. She's interesting. What a fascinating story, this beautiful girl that got started in a drug addiction immediately in middle school. How that happens to people, maybe she can tell us. Please call. Nothing's below the belt on Radio Rehab. You can ask us anything, Nicole or myself, and we'll answer to the best of our ability. Good morning, Nicole. Please share your story with us.
Good morning, Lisa, and thank you for having me. My name's Nicole, and I'm 26 years old. I'll be 27 here in like a week, and I'm a recovering alcoholic and addict. And so it's been a long journey. I started in middle school, like Lisa said, and it was like 6th or 7th grade year, and I just wanted to fit in. I had a really strict mother, and she just let it be known that's not acceptable, and I was rebellious. I wanted to be exactly opposite of her. Mm-hmm. So I got into the fast life really, really quick. I was like 11, 12, 13, that was when it all started. I started drinking and smoking marijuana at that young of age, and going to parties. It didn't matter what day of the week it was. It kind of went really fast. Started mainly on the weekends and then during the week, whenever we could find time where our parents weren't home, basically. it progressed to my freshman year of high school, and I got pregnant at a young age.
How old were you then?
I was 14, turning 15. Pregnant? Yeah, 14 and pregnant. And, yeah.
Wow.
I had one kid then, and then I had another one my junior year. So I had 2 kids in high school.
My gosh.
And my drug addiction and alcohol addiction didn't stop there. I thought it would. I wanted it to, kind of, but not really. I still wanted to party and be a teenager. I thought
sure.
It was.
Because you were still a teenager, even though you had 2 babies, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I still wanted to party. That was my main thing. Have fun. And
so did having a baby inside of your stomach get your attention at all?
Yeah, I stopped while I was pregnant. That's about it. And then afterwards.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah. I think once you feel the baby, or you know, when you know it in your mind that you're pregnant, you have it in you to stop, at least for that moment.
Yeah.
I hadn't been drinking and doing drugs very long at that time. So after my second child, I still was ready to party. It's my junior year. I had one more year of high school, and I had in my mind, I'll stop later on in life when I get a little older.
Is that, you think, a common mindset of young people that are drinking and using drugs?
Most definitely. Most definitely. We're too young to stop. We think that's the way young people live.
So having babies doesn't make you grow up?
No. No, I had somebody forcing me trying to grow up. It still didn't work.
Yeah.
No.
But
I don't think so.
Education was still important to you?
Oh, yeah. I still kept my grades, and I still graduated high school, class of 99.
The class of 99.
Yeah, I still graduated high school. It took me summer school to graduate on time, but I did graduate on time with the rest of my class. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Then after high school, I mean, I thought I was going to stop for a while. Changed boyfriends. It was different. No, it didn't. It got worse after high school. I didn't really go anywhere or do anything with my life. It was kind of like I'm working and trying to support my family, and that's it. And then I ran into this guy who introduced me to another world. It was alcohol and marijuana, and then I went into the meth scene at that time after high school.
So it was alcohol and pot during high school?
Yeah.
Is that because it was so available?
I think it most definitely is really available at that time. That's the main thing, I do believe.
Yeah, and that's what I see too.
Yeah.
Pot and booze.
Yeah, more pot than anything, I do believe. But, yeah.
Was there a mindset that you had at that time that just complemented the whole drug lifestyle?
Yeah, I just really thought that everybody should mind their own business. It's my life. I should be able to choose what I want to do with my life.
Yeah. So even going out of high school?
Yeah.
You still thought, this is my show, leave me alone, world.
Yeah, it's my business, not anybody else's. Nobody should have any input on it. It's my life. Mind your business was my thing.
Mind your business. Could anybody have intervened at that point?
I don't think so. No. I really don't. Even if I would have gotten in trouble at a younger age, I still don't think it would have helped. I still thought that I'm young and I should be able to party. And
having two children just didn't even faze you?
No, I had my mother I could fall back on. I could always drop them off with her when times got bad and come back and get them when I was ready. And
that's a term we call enabling in our profession, where we always have somebody to pick up the pieces for us.
Yeah.
You had your mom.
Yeah, she's still there now, but it's in
a different way. Thank God for enablers, huh?
Yeah, it's in a different way now. I'm pretty much in charge of my own life now. Drugs and alcohol are not a factor right now. But after that, I mean, the meth world is so much different than anything else you ever experience. You're up for days. I end up marrying him and having another child, too, and he was very abusive, very, very abusive. I think alcohol and drugs most definitely was a factor in that. We were up days and days and days at a time. And,
wow.
Yeah, you kind of start to lose your mind after 6 or 7 days. No sleep or really eating or drinking or anything and nothing. Yeah.
And you've lived in that situation. Did you see that there would ever be a way out, or did that just go with the territory?
Kind of just went with the territory. We lived that crazy kind of life. I mean, we were selling drugs, which we eventually got in trouble for.
Yeah, tell me about that. How's a 21-year-old girl end up dealing marijuana and meth and coke?
Well, he was really controlling, and he didn't want me to work. He thinks the woman should stay at home, so
whoops your butt.
Yeah. So we end up selling drugs for extra money to support our drug habits. That's exactly what it was. We couldn't afford our drug habits and for me to stay home at the same time. I thought I was being a stay-at-home mom, a good stay-at-home mom, but there were plenty of times where I would drive my kids to school and I'm still drunk and from the night before, and you know, I didn't realize it then, but there was a problem there. And I just didn't see it then. I didn't see there was a problem.
Did anybody at any point in this lifestyle say to you, drugs are a problem for you, alcohol's a problem for you, wake up?
Not really. The only thing that was ever really told to me is that I'm selfish. I think about no one but myself. I guess people didn't really see that I had a drug problem. I mean,
do drug addicts come across pretty selfish and self-centered when they're in their addiction?
Most definitely. All we care about is ourselves and how we can get our next drug or alcohol.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
So the selfishness is true.
Yes, it is. But people try not to bring the drug part in. Your family, mainly, don't like to admit that there's a problem there. And there most definitely was in my case.
It sounds like it. It looks like it. You reeked of it.
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere you turned, you were having another baby or getting in an abusive relationship.
No one
mentioned drugs or alcohol in this.
No.
Did the guy you were with, this last guy that got you started with the meth, did he ever say, we need to quit?
No. We never thought we needed to quit. We decided we were going to change drugs.
Ah.
We thought crack would be different.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We
thought the meth was out of control. That's what it was. We need to try something else. We tried drinking. Yeah. We tried drinking again. That was really violent for him. Violent time for him, too. He's very abusive with drinking. So we figured, you know, that was a problem, too. Let's try something else. So,
wow.
Yeah. Crack came in. And that takes you into a whole nother world. It's a crack world is really scary, really, really scary. I did a lot.
Is it true that that crack just immediately creates a hunger in your brain that you can't even take care of? You can't even feed that hunger. It's so powerful.
Yeah, it is. It's true, and you'll never be able to feed it. It'll never, no
never
matter
be
how.
Enough.
No, nothing. I mean, we had plenty of money at the time. We were really selling a lot, and he worked at the time, and nothing worked. I mean, we could have hundreds, a thousand. It doesn't, not enough money for that
never
drug.
Never enough money.
Never, ever enough money for that drug.
Is it true you hear meth is the white man's drug, crack cocaine is the black man's drug? Is that true?
Kind of, yeah. A lot of people that we hung around with when we were in the message, almost all of them, I was the only black person, to be honest with you. Yeah, every single one of them were white. And then when we got into crack, we ran into more black people. Yes, that's true.
Well, hang on, Tri-State. We will be back. It's already time for a break. I can't believe it. This is going so fast. But hang on. We'll be right back after break to hear more from Nicole about her recovery and what her life is like today. Be right back. Thank you.
Your Midday News airs Monday through Friday at 12 noon and is sponsored in part by Fathers Matters Coalition, who's asking the question, have you been a father today? For more information, call 422-0626. The Westside Golden Corral, located at 5301 Pearl Drive, featuring their 99-cent kids meal all day, every day. Limit 2 children per adult. The 10th Annual Family Day in the Park, Saturday, September the 13th. Keep listening to this station for more details.
Save today and sleep better tonight at America's Mattress. That's right. Cash in on incredible savings on Serta this week at America's Mattress.
America's Mattress is Evansville's only Serta-only sleep shop. That means we specialize in providing the nation's number one selling mattress for less.
Shop today and let our sleep experts demonstrate the superior benefits of Serta Perfect Sleeper mattresses, electric beds, memory foam beds, and more. You'll feel the difference the moment you lie down.
Hurry in for incredible Serta savings this week. This is your best opportunity to get the very best prices on Serta with great financing available.
Plus, at America's Mattress, when you select your mattress today, you really can sleep on it tonight with free same-day delivery, free setup, and free removal of your old bedding.
Don't lose another night's sleep on that old worn-out mattress.
Save today and sleep better tonight on your Serta mattress from America's Mattress.
Get here now for extra savings this week.
At America's Mattress, South Green River Road across from Lawndale.
Hey, you. Yeah, you're listening to the radio. It's me again. Have you got that HIV test yet? As I mentioned before, if you have put yourself at risk by having unprotected sex with more than one person or used IV drugs, guess what? You've put yourself at risk for HIV. Make that appointment today by calling the Vandenberg County Health Department at 435-5683 or stop by 420 East Mulberry. It's that easy. Remember, everything is confidential. No one has to know you've gotten the test unless you tell them, so do it. What do you have to lose except maybe your life or your partner's life? When in doubt, get checked out.
You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call, at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Welcome back. We're talking to Nicole, a beautiful young girl whose history of addiction and recovery is enough to make you stand up and listen, no doubt about it. We've had a couple of calls, so we want to answer some of these questions. Back to Nicole. Nicole, what finally was the turning point for you? You went from alcohol to marijuana when you're 12, 13, into methamphetamine when you're 18, 19, in between all that, having three children, then on to crack cocaine. What finally did it?
Child Protection Services was involved. That's what most definitely did it. I lost my children. I got into a drug court program, and they sent me to rehab.
So is that the first anybody ever talked to you about rehab?
Yeah, that's the first.
In all that history?
Yes.
Nobody ever said, do you think you have a drug problem?
No.
Wow.
Nobody really mentioned anything about my drug addiction. Or maybe I didn't hear them. Well, it could have, but I doubt that. I don't think so.
So you ended up in the Indiana Women's Prison.
Yes, I did.
And that didn't get your attention.
No, I still had the same mindset. People need to mind their own business. You know,
I would mind your own business, kid, huh?
Yeah, I felt like I was just doing what I needed to do to support my family, even though that was a lie. It was to support my drug habit.
But it's what you believed at the time.
Yeah, that's what I believed at the time.
Do you think that's a young person's mindset? Mind your own business. It's my life.
Most definitely. That crowd I hung out with in prison, they were younger, and they didn't have very much time like I didn't have very much time, and that was our thing. We were young, and we're still going to do what we want to do. I mean, only older people got sober. We were still young, still ready to party.
So do young women then just not even consider the consequences this kind of lifestyle has on their babies, their children?
No, it never went through my mind, ever.
Wow.
I never thought that they were being affected by it at all. I really didn't. I felt like, kind of like it was normal. And people
in
just,
your culture?
Yeah. Yeah, in my mind, my life was okay.
And
there was
you had
nothing
a mom to
wrong.
Take care of your kids.
Yeah, my mom was there most definitely, and she.
You didn't have to worry about your children.
Sure didn't. I think that's what the main problem was. I didn't have to worry about them. When it came to the point, push, shove, when I had to worry about them, when it was an issue, when I lost them, that's when my whole life changed. They were telling me when I can see my kids, and I had a supervised visitation. It was totally different. Yeah. So.
Do we have a caller? Is there a caller?
Hi.
Hi.
I was wondering if you wouldn't have had children, how do you think that would have changed your life? Do you
Great
think that
question.
You'd still be doing drugs?
Actually, most definitely. I think I would have kept going. Most definitely. I had to make a choice between drugs and my children, and I chose my children, but if I didn't have them, most definitely, I would still be using today. I do honestly believe that.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, caller. So you think your kids were the main turning point for you?
Yes, they were.
And you really think if they weren't a part of your life, you'd still be out there using today?
Yeah, I think that I'd still have that carefree life that I could just go and do as I please. Most definitely.
Is that just part of being young?
Yeah.
Like in your 20s and life's a party?
Yeah. I think it, with people with no responsibility at all, it still kind of, I think I would still have that in me to just go and do it, please. And I most definitely feel like I'm not hurting anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when CPS got involved, they made me open my eyes and realize that I'm hurting other people besides myself.
So CPS, and I've heard this from another woman we had on here, really is in a position to do some intervention in this addiction world.
Most definitely. Most definitely. At first you feel betrayed feel like they're just in your business and they shouldn't be there. That's your first reaction. That can always be somebody's first reaction. But then you just realize they're just there to help.
And then you got in Judge Niemeyer's drug court, his chins.
Yes, and it was wonderful. It really changed my life. They held me accountable, showed me the way to be sober, to live your life sober. I didn't know what to do.
Sure. We tell people go get sober or drink moderately or quit using, but we don't tell them how.
Yeah, I never knew how. He introduced me to Narcotics Anonymous, and so I was there. And
so could you say a little about what Narcotics Anonymous is? It's a 12-step program.
Yes.
Like Alcoholics Anonymous.
Yes, it is. It's kind of like a support group. They're there to help you.
Yeah.
And they know what you're going through because they're in the same position.
Did that make a difference for you going into NA?
Yeah, I really related to everybody there. I liked it.
More young people.
Yeah, a lot of younger crowd.
Could still party and have fun.
Yeah.
Not do drugs to do it.
Yeah.
And now you're getting ready to almost a day at a time.
Yes.
God willing, to celebrate 2 years on the 29th of September.
Yes. I'm excited. I'm waiting, but I'm trying to be patient and take
well,
it one day at a time. Yeah.
Oh, and,
yeah.
And
one day at a time.
You're working full time, managing in the food service business. Your life is a whole different world today.
Most
Which
definitely.
World do you like better?
Oh, my new life. Most definitely. I actually live on my own now with my boyfriend and my kids, and it's a lot different. I've been living with my mom for years now. She's been there a lot, and she still is there a lot now, but in a different kind of way for me. She's there when I need her, not because
to enable you.
Yeah.
So has being in a relationship with another person in recovery been helpful, you think?
Most definitely. If he was, yeah, because he totally understands where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
And we actually understand each other.
But you know what they say, if you get in a relationship early in recovery, it's bad news.
It could be. I've seen it be bad news, most definitely. Both people have to want to make it work. Both people most definitely have to.
I think you're right.
That's what makes the difference between it being a bad thing and a good thing. If you get in a relationship with somebody early on in your recovery and they're not ready and they're just doing it just to do it, mm-hmm. they're probably more than likely going to drag you down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got lucky.
Yes, and you did too, obviously. Before we close, you said you were raised with religion.
Yes.
And every guest we've had so far talks about how important it is that they have faith. Has that been the case for you, and did your faith, you think, bring you to the point you are now? Or do you think it really had nothing to do with it?
I don't think my faith did. I think my faith most definitely played a lot in my drug and alcohol addiction. I was Catholic, raised Catholic, and I was totally opposite of that. I sinned all the time, and I polluted my body, and I had premarital sex. I felt so unwanted. Even though
in your church,
it most definitely, I felt out of place. Yeah. Right now, I have a different kind of faith.
Yeah.
I just don't practice Catholic. I'm not Catholic.
And you are living a good life now.
Well, most definitely.
And doing the next right thing.
Yeah, and it's faith based also.
Yes.
But it's different from when I was growing up. Most definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you are incredible, and
Thank
I
you.
Hope. All young girls heard you today. You have a message of hope, integrity. You're responsible. And I know your boyfriend. Oh, my God. and he's working along those lines as well. Thank you so much for coming. Is there anything, Nicole, you want to say as we close today?
I just want to thank you for having me here, most definitely. And hopefully a lot of young girls hear this and they understand that it's okay if you make mistakes in your life, but you need to correct those and just move on with your life from your past. You'll be okay.
And maybe from hearing from you, too, that mind your own business mindset that's so powerful with
Yes.
young people. Maybe we need to get in their face a little bit more and say, you know, you do have a drug problem.
Or, yeah.
Yeah. Is this what's going on with you? And really explore, is drugs or alcohol in there? Because
yeah.
no one asked you.
No, they never really did. They didn't see it.
Yeah. Yes.
I hid it very well.
I think, yeah, people don't want to say it
either. Yeah. Maybe they just don't want to hear it.
Yeah. Well, hopefully Radio Rehab will help bring this out of hiding and keep it out of hiding so more people do talk about it and confront it. Thank you so much for coming. We'll have you back for sure. Thank you, Tri-State, for your call. Sorry if we didn't get to everybody. You can hear Nicole on podcast at lisasifecares.net. If you didn't get a chance or want to hear it again, lisasifecares.net. But we're signing out now from Radio Rehab. Until next time we talk to you, don't forget to do the next right thing. Thank you.